Plans.
This just came, Ellie said the next day, walking to the back of the trailer with a thick manila envelope. One of the kids brought it back from town. It's from Hammond.
Grant noticed the blue and white InGen logo as he tore open the envelope. Inside, there was no cover letter, just a bound stack of paper. Pulling it out, he discovered it was blueprints. They were reduced, forming a thick book. The cover was marked Isla Nublar, Resort Guest Facilities, Full Set Safari Lodge.
What the hell is this? He said.
As he flipped open the book, a sheet of paper fell out. Dear Alan and Ellie, as you can imagine, we don't have much in the way of formal promotional materials yet, but this should give you some idea of the Isla Nublar project. I think it's very exciting. Looking forward to discussing this with you. Hope you can join us. Regards, John.
I don't get it, Grant said. He flipped through the sheets. These are architectural plans.
He turned to the top sheet. Visitor Center Stroke Lodge, Isla Nublar Resort. Client, InGen Incorporated, Palo Alto, California. Architects, Dunning, Murphy & Associates, New York. Richard Murphy, Design Partner. Theodore Chen, Senior Designer. Sheldon James, Administrative Partner. Engineers, Harlow, Whitney & Fields, Boston, Structural. A.T. Misikawa, Osaka, Mechanical. Landscaping, Shepperton Rogers, London. A. Ashikiga, H. Ayasu, Kanazawa. Electrical, N.V. Kobayashi, Tokyo. A.R. Makasawa, Senior Consultant. Computer C-Stroke-C, Integrated Computer Systems Incorporated, Cambridge, Massachusetts. Dennis Nedry, Project Supervisor. Grant turned to the plans themselves. They were stamped Industrial Secrets, Do Not Copy, and Confidential Work Product, Not for Distribution. Each sheet was numbered, and at the top, these plans represent the confidential creations of InGen Incorporated. You must have signed document 112/4A, or you risk prosecution.
Looks pretty paranoid to me, he said. Maybe there's a reason, Ellie said.
The next page was a topographical map. It showed Isla Nublar as an inverted teardrop, bulging at the north, tapering at the south. The island was 8 miles long, and the map divided it into several large sections. The northern section was marked Visitor Area, and it contained structures marked Visitor Arrivals, Visitor Center Stroke Administration, Power Stroke Desalinization Stroke Support, Hammond Res, and Safari Lodge. Grant could see the outline of a swimming pool, the rectangles of tennis courts, and the round squiggles that represented planting and shrubbery.
Looks like a resort, all right, Ellie said.
There followed detail sheets for the Safari Lodge itself. In the elevation sketches, the lodge looked dramatic, a long, low building with a series of pyramid shapes on the roof, but there was little about the other buildings in the visitor area, and the rest of the island was even more mysterious. As far as Grant could tell, it was mostly open space. A network of roads, tunnels, and outlying buildings, and a long, thin lake that appeared to be man-made with concrete dams and barriers. But for the most part, the island was divided into big, curving areas with very little development at all. Each area was marked by codes. Stroke P, stroke PROC, stroke V, stroke 2A. Stroke D, stroke TRICE, stroke L, stroke 5, parenthesis 4A plus 1, end parenthesis, and so on.
Is there an explanation for the codes? She said.
Grant flipped the pages rapidly, but he couldn't find one.
Maybe they took it out, she said.
I'm telling you, Grant said. Paranoid. He looked at the big, curving divisions separated from one another by the network of roads. There were only 6 divisions on the whole island, and each division was separated from the road by a concrete moat. Outside each moat was a fence with a little lightning sign alongside it. That mystified them until they were finally able to figure out it meant the fences were electrified.
That's odd, she said. Electrified fences at a resort?
Miles of them, Grant said. Electrified fences and moats together.
and usually with a road alongside them as well.
Just like a zoo, Ellie said.
They went back to the topographical map and looked closely at the contour lines. The roads had been placed oddly. The main road ran north-south, right through the central hills of the island, including one section of road that seemed to be literally cut into the side of a cliff above a river. It began to look as if there had been a deliberate effort to leave these open areas as big enclosures, separated from the roads by moats and electric fences, and the roads were raised up above ground level so you could see over the fences.
You know, Ellie said, some of these dimensions are enormous. Look at this. This concrete moat is 30 feet wide. That's like a military fortification.
So are these buildings, Grant said. He had noticed that each open division had a few buildings, usually located in out-of-the-way corners, but the buildings were all concrete, with thick walls. In side-view elevations, they looked like concrete bunkers, with small windows, like the Nazi pillboxes from old war movies. At that moment, they heard a muffled explosion, and Grant put the papers aside. Back to work, he said,